It's wonderful to know not only can we have peace in the valley, we're going to have peace when we see Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And if we look into the Word of God, we can find that peace every day. Amen? He says, my peace I give unto you. Peace. Sweet, wonderful, godly peace. Overcoming peace. Amen? Love, peace, joy, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, patience, self-control. All of the fruits of the Spirit to lead, to guide, to direct our footsteps. Amen. Every day we can have peace. This is a new year. Many of you have said, Lord, I want to do this for you. I want to do that for you. I just say, Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do. Lord, you go before me and make a way where there seemed to be no way. How many thinks that's best? Amen. Life in itself is confusing sometimes. You've ever been there? Amen. It's kind of like when you get my age, I got those stairs that go up and down those stairs. Sometimes it seems like I get in the middle of those stairs going down and coming up, and I have to ask my wife, honey, was it coming up or was it going down? You know what I'm talking about, huh? I'm not saying you're getting old, but that's a good indication. But this is a new year, new challenges, a brand new year to do things different according to the will of God. How many wants the will of God for your life this year?
Amen.
How many wants that perfect will?
Yes.
Amen. I don't want to just survive. Amen. We've had enough of those years already. Amen. But I want my life to count for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want it to mean something. Bible said when you die, it's better to have a good name than, paraphrasing, a big bank account.
That's right. Yeah.
Now your wife might want you to have a big bank account too. But it's wonderful to be serving the Lord. It's wonderful to make new resolutions. But how many knows most of them you're not going to keep anyway? Amen. At my age, you forget what it was the next day anyway. Some of you can relate to that. Philippians, the third chapter. Turn with me. Philippians, the third chapter, verse 13 and 14. The pastor talked upon this just a little here a few weeks ago, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Here we find the Apostle Paul is talking to the children of God, you and I. Not only in his day and disposition, time, but today God is talking to the church, you and I. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. How many knows we haven't finished the race yet?
Right.
Amen? We have a ways to go. I trust we have a lot more years, all of us together. I don't like to have to go to a funeral. But when it's a funeral of a saint of God that's been faithful and she's 80 or 90 or he's 80 or 90, that's a different thing. They went on to the reward. But we have a work to do. You are the church. A lot of people say the pastor's the church. Yes, he is the leader. Yes, he is privileged to follow the Lord. And you can follow his ministry as he does. But if all you ever do is just come on Sunday morning and you don't get into the Word and study the Word during the week, you're lacking. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of God. You know, God can speak to you just as well as He can speak to the pastor. Amen? At least He better. You better let Him. Amen. But brother, I cannot not count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. How many knows it takes some effort to work for God? Huh?
That's right.
It just don't come natural because the devil's fighting you continually. You are on in a battle. If you're not in a battle, there's something wrong. Amen. That's when David got in trouble, when he wasn't in the battle.
Right.
We'll be speaking about that perhaps this morning. But reaching forth, it takes an effort. You don't become an Olympic star by not pushing. Going the second mile. Getting that second wind, as they call it. That you have enough strength to finish the mile or the 880 or whatever the different measurements are, whatever participation they do in the Olympics, many hundreds of different things. Each one is as important as the other. None of us is an island by ourselves. Amen? We are the body of Christ. We are brothers fellowshipping with one another. Strengthening one another, lifting up one another, praying for one another. Can you say amen?
That's right.
Hallelujah. You're my brother. You're my sister. And I'm your brother. My wife's your sister. I press towards the mark of the prize. There is a mark out there. We need to set a goal. The long jumpers, those that's in the long jump, you know what they do? In training, they'll put a cloth out there or something at the distance that they can go just a little bit farther than they jumped before. And they put something out there, a marker or something, that they have something to aim for. My aim is to please God. My aim is to lift up the name of Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the strength to preach thy word, O God. Make it easy. Let it flow by the power of the Holy Spirit this day. May it not be in my strength, but may it be in the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. I press towards the mark of the prize. There is a prize. There is a high calling, and the highest calling you and I will ever have will be following Jesus. Amen. We're going to obtain greater things for God in the future. God wants us to practice the art of forgetting. Amen. How many's failed God? We've all failed God, haven't we? We've all come short. That doesn't mean you've committed some great grievous sin, but we've all failed God. And I thank God that when I do fail God, that I can run to Him. I can run to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Lord, help me to be an overcomer in thy name and in thy power of the Holy Spirit. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who strengtheneth me. We need to obtain more, 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 more. I want to obtain all that I can for Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to be every day of our life reaching out for the Lord, reaching out to others to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about the mercies of God and the keeping power of the Holy Spirit within the bodies, within the minds, within the souls. Hallelujah. We need to move up higher and higher in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us of many great men in the Bible that done great exploits for God. You say, oh, God, if I could be just like them. Lord, if I could just be like them. There's only one person in the Bible said that he didn't really sin. Nothing recorded much other than, and that would be Joseph. Joseph loved God. He made a mistake, but it's all in the plan of God, telling his dreams and all that, because how could God brought him to where he was to save the nation of Israel? So everything is in the plan of God when we're following Jesus Christ. It may not look like the plan of God at the moment, but when time passes by, you see what God has done. Great and mighty things God does for his children. Did you know you're the hands and the feet of God? You're the mouth of God. You're the only God that people's going to see God through you. Amen? You're not God, but we are examples of him. We are followers. The Bible said, be ye holy as my Father in heaven is holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. We need to keep looking up. I remember one time that my brother and I, there in Salinas, I was about 15 years old, and every time I got in trouble was because I listened to my brothers. God in heaven. You ever been there? You know, they just about got me killed. I preached about the mind. I didn't have no mind. Anyway, preached about the mind. But my brother talked me into climbing this mountain. It wasn't a gigantic mountain, 50 foot high. Now, how many knows 30, 40 foot falling could pretty well do some damage? In my case, it probably would have helped. But nevertheless, we climbed. I got about his head of it. He talked me in getting up there, and I got about halfway up. It was a dirt, but I mean, it was dangerous still yet. And I made one mistake. I looked down. How many of those Bible said he that puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God?
That's true.
I looked down. You've ever been there? And guess what? Fear covered my mind. Gripped my heart. I couldn't go up. I couldn't go down. He's up there already, and there's no way he'd come down and help me. He would have failed. What seemed to be an hour past 10 minutes, but he finally talked me into one step at a time, real slowly. Amen. Another time, my brother talked me into jumping from one train car to the other while it was moving. No, I didn't fall and get killed. But when my brother got to thinking about it, he said, what was I thinking, that clumsy witch? That's my nickname. Could have got killed. Could have failed. Isn't it better to listen to God than your brother?
No doubt.
You're going to get me killed. Well, what am I saying? We need to keep our eyes upon Jesus. Don't look back. Looking back has never accomplished anything. Yes. You're permitted to look back upon your salvation experience, upon the blessings of the Lord that God has given you through the years. But don't look back on your regrets. What's the blood of Jesus Christ do? It cleanses us from all sin. It wipes our slate clean. That means God don't remember my sins and he's forgiven anymore. As far as the east is from the west.
Praise God.
Man, can you imagine that? All the bad things that you've done, don't tell us. God's forgiven you. He's not only forgiven you, he's forgotten and cast them into the sea and put up a no fishing sign.
Praise God. I like that.
The devil wants you to fish for all of your sin. He wants to remind you what a wicked, no good, damn scoundrel you was. And that might have been the truth, but you're not now. You're born again. You're my brother. You're my family. Matter of fact, I'll even go farther. God says, you are his bride. Man, that includes you too. Though in Bible college, they try to get us to figure that one out. Man, you're out of luck.
if he's coming back for his bride. But God is talking about in general. We are the bride of Christ. We are special in his sight. Special in his sight. We don't need to look back. We need to look forward for great and mighty things God has for his church.
Amen.
How many would agree Moses was a great man?
He was. What a man of God.
Did great and mighty things for God. God gave him the Ten Commandments. Amen. God first wrote the Ten Commandments. Hold it. God first wrote the Ten Commandments. And when Moses went down and he saw them partying and worshiping the golden calf that they made, he got mad, he threw them down, and they broke them. Probably in the hundreds of pieces. God said, all right, come up a little higher. Went back up there the second time. God said, this time you're going to chisel it in the rock. Isn't it better to let God do it? But God still used Moses, and he chiseled it the second time. God didn't do it. He said, one time I did it. You're going to do it now. Remember what I told you, and he remembered, because Moses, no doubt, had a photographic memory, just like me. Never had found it, but it's just like me. Came down. God used him mightily time after time, bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, the 10 plagues, you know all that. A great man of God. But there came a time that Moses even failed God. Did you know that?
It's true.
See, we hear about the Ten Commandments. We hear about the deliverance out of Egypt. But Moses failed God. It don't take a whole lot to fail God. That's called disobedience. When God tells you one thing, don't try to improve on it. Amen? How many always try to improve on something somebody tells you? Amen? There's got to be a better way. Hey, if God tells you how to do it, there's no better way. Man, I bet Noah was sure glad that he didn't try to improve on the ark. He would have had some sinking spells. You and I wouldn't have been here. Amen? But Moses, what a man. Man, I wouldn't want to be Moses. Man, it's hard enough to be him redeemed. That poor guy went through it, didn't he? He's sure glad he had Aaron to help him. Amen. And later on, 70 more elders that he had enough of the Holy Spirit to share with the other 70, the Bible said. Wow, what a man. But he fell down. How did Moses fail God? When they got into the wilderness, remember? They began to cry out, we have no water for flocks, no water for children. You brought us out here to starve us to death. We'd rather be back in Egypt. Bunch of complainers, if you ever seen it. Sound like he was in church. complain, because, hey, I got a long time ago when I go to potluck, never complain. Thank God for what you get. Amen? Potluck is, with any luck, there'll be something in the pot. And so we find that Moses, God said, Moses, I want you to go over that rock. Now, twice this happened. The first time he obeyed God and did what God said, God blessed him. The water flowed out. Later on, how much longer it was, if it was another year, two, 3 years, it's 40 years in the wilderness, went out. God said unto Moses, when they all complained again, said, okay, we're going to bring water out of the rock again. But this time, Moses, I want you to speak to it and not strike. No, the first time you struck the rock, God said, strike it, and water came forth. This time, God said, how many knows Jesus was only crucified once? Amen. You can't crucify him again. Amen. So, finally got the story. Thank you for thinking. Help me. And so, anyway, God said, I want you to speak to the rock. And in his anger, he said to the people, you know, he's fed up to hear everybody complaining, nobody happy. And rightfully so, if I was there, I might have been one of the complainers too. I don't know. You know, when you ain't got water for your children, you, you know, and they're crying out day and night for water because there's no water. Instead of calling on God, they call on Moses. And finally, Moses did go to God. God said, this is the way it is. You speak to the rock this time. Last time, I told you to strike it, representing me being crucified in so many words. And I want you to speak to the rock. And Moses said out loud, he said, must I fetch water like a dog for you? I think he was mad, don't you? Why do I have to fetch water for you like a dog? What do you think I am, God? And he took the rod and he struck the rock in disobedience unto God. And God told him, because of this, Moses, you will not lead these people into the promised land. All those horrible years of putting up and putting up and putting up with complainers. Now on top of that, now he's not going to get to do what God promised him he would let him do if he obeyed him. How many of those obedience is better than sacrifice? It does pay to serve God. It does pay to hear God. Amen. Some people don't pray because they're afraid they will hear from God. True? No, really, there is people that way. And he struck the rock, and God said, Moses, you and Aaron will not go into that land that's flowing with milk and honey, but Aaron, I choose him to lead the people across. Amen. What a sad day. His whole life looking forward to that land that was flowing with milk and honey. And now God says, no, you're not going in to that land. But let me show you something. God took him to something better, took him to heaven. God said, Moses, you're going to serve me upon this mountain, which means he went up on the mountain. The Bible, if I understand it right, God killed him. God buried him. And you'd say, well, after all that Moses did, God did that to Moses? Well, God took him to heaven. What do you mean God took him to heaven? 2,000 years later, who was upon the mountain of transfiguration with Jesus? Moses.
Right.
How did he get there? He's in the ground. He's buried. No, he ain't. See, that gives us hope, church, that when our eyes close in death, like Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He turned his failures into success. Hallelujah. What a man of God Moses was. But he practiced the art of forgetting the past. He was able to forget the past, and just because God said, you're not going into the land that's flowing with milk and honey, God said, I'm still going to bless you. He prayed for the next leader, Aaron, or who followed him, and he prayed for them. He continually to bless God's people, even when God said, I'm going to kill them all. I'm fed up to hear with them. Don't know if he said it like that, but I'm fed up with them. I'm going to kill them. And Moses, I'm going to raise up a new generation in your name. And Moses pled before God and said, God, you can't do that. The enemy will say that, look, you took them out into the desert to kill them and you couldn't survive. What kind of God is that? And he pled, and God repented, changed his mind, if you please, and had mercy and spared that miserable lot. But the Bible said everybody, what was it, 18 and above or 19 and above, in that 40 years, all died in the wilderness. God raised up a new generation. And that's what we are, a new generation. We are a royal priesthood, church. Hello, are you hearing me? We are a new generation. God is raising up to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. David, what a man of God. God mightily used him. As a lad, he killed a lion, he killed a bear. did many great things for God, and God raised him up when even his own dad couldn't see anything worthwhile in him, I guess, like my dad seen in me. Always said I was a disaster waiting to happen. How would you like to be raised like that? Well, maybe you was. Your parents constantly telling you this, you're a disaster waiting to happen. And yet, guess who raised me up? Not my dad, not my brothers, but the good Lord. He's made me what I am. I'll blame him for everything. And I'll never regret a day that I've served him. Never regret a day that I've served my God. Amen. And it will be worth it all when I see Jesus. And church, he could come today. He could. And if you're not looking for him to come today, then you need to pray and make sure that you're ready to want to meet him. Amen. Because we don't know what day or what hour that the Son of Man returns. But we must be ready for that hour that you think not that he's coming. It's when he will surprise you. Amen. I'm so glad Jesus lives with me. David, man of God, a wonderful man of God. He was so great that God raised him up. Bible said he repented that he made Saul a king. Children of Israel wanted Saul to become king because he was good looking. Because he was tall. Because he was a warrior, no doubt. But God rejected Saul because of his sins. And Saul, in the battle, because God had rejected him from being king, him and his three sons was all killed. He fell on his own sword and committed suicide. He couldn't get his arm bearer to kill him. The man that he seen, Saul, fall on his sword, he fell on his. And David's three other sons all died in the battle. God was raising up a new generation because of disobedience of Saul. Now we have David. David, a young lad that God could speak to. It's wonderful when God has somebody that has ears to hear what thus saith the Lord. David talked to God on the backside. Now today people think you're just a bit loony. Walk around talking to yourself. I'm still not used to these people with these phones, you know, that's here. You want that? That goofy? Then I see the phone in there. So, man, he's bad as I am. I don't have one. He got one of those. But unbelievable. You don't know if they've gone off the DP. You better hope you see something sticking around in that they're talking to. I haven't got into that generation yet. I'm still stuck in the old times, the good old days, huh? I've not forgotten the good old days, huh? And so David, God used him mightily. God worked miracles. Can you imagine grabbing a lion by the mouth and ripping his mouth open and killing him? Oh, going out with your bare hands and killing a bear? Wow. And God raised David up. Very appreciate. He loved God. The Bible said that he was a man after God's own heart. Are you? I want the heart of God. Look at me. I want God to be able to say, that's my son. How many always enjoyed when your dad finally, most dad didn't do that, my dad did, but put his arm around you and say, son, I love you. Usually it's the last few months of the life or something. I remember one time I was going through a hard time, pastoring and being between churches and everything was falling through. I just broke. Only a couple of times in my life, totally broke. My dad put his arm around me and said, son, it's all right, we're going to make it. I couldn't believe it. I never heard such words come out of a man's mouth. We're going to make it. It's all right. That's the way Jesus does. If we let him realize, sometimes that angel might be your wife putting an arm around you and saying, honey, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. And sometimes maybe you need to put your arm around your wife and say, honey, we're going to make it. And if you really love one another, peace will come over you. And you know that Because he said, or she said, it's going to be all right. That's the way it is with Jesus, church. We're going to make it. I don't care what hell you go through. And at the sun, we're shining. You ever hear somebody say, the sun's not shining today? I beg your pardon. It is shining today. It may be up above the clouds. But when you remove the clouds away long enough, those clouds are going to move. And the sun's going to shine through. This week we've got a couple days of beautiful. Now, compared to that snow on the ground, I didn't think I'd ever see Earth again. But all I was going to see is that white snow. You see what snow means to me? It's almost like the blood of Jesus Christ just cleansing this old earth like he's going to do. Amen? It's a cleansing. Beauty. You see such beauty and snow on the trees and bushes you've never seen. It'll take your breath. It really does. Then when my wife says, go out and shovel, it does take my breath. I prefer my wife above me there. God is so good. But David, a young man that loved God, but how many knows David, as much as he loved God, he loved the flesh too. How many knows this flesh gets you in trouble? Of course, I know you're not like me and never had trouble with the flesh, right? Yeah, we do. Why do you think Paul said we need to die daily to this old flesh? I found out this year and before that, it's a lot better to die to the old flesh and keep God happy on your side. Man, I don't like to call on God when I've got sin in my life because I feel like he don't hear me. And I couldn't blame him. But God is merciful and kind and loving. He's devoted. Did you know God is devoted to you? You're that special. You're that special. Yeah, you are. We're somebody. We're not a nobody. The devil says you're nobody. You're nothing. But I beg your pardon. Jesus said you're the lover of my soul. He died for you. He loves you. And that love is what's going to carry us through, Brother Gary, Pastor Gary. The love of God that's going to carry us through. I think I'm just going to end it right here. Have Brother Gary come. Say what the Holy Spirit's laid on his heart. But we need to practice the art of forgetting the past. Only remember that is good. Amen? Don't forget God's blessings. Never forget the blessings of the Lord. But don't let the devil throw up your past. Because it's just exactly what it said. It's your past. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Brother Harry.
Amen. How many of you know that is absolutely the truth this morning? I love his analogy. The scripture said that God has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. Said that he has cast it into the sea, and he said, and there he put up a no fishing sign. I love that.